One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day, yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. Hell, yeah, what else can I say?
You're listening to the Degenerate Podcast. I'm Ryan Shores. With me, as always, is Dave Callens.
Hello.
And Robert Timothy.
How you doing?
Our guest this week, very happy to have him. He's a very funny comic, very good friend of ours. More importantly, for the purposes of this episode, a booker as well of comedy shows, Mr. Alan Henderson, everyone.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, I wanted to have you on because me and Dave and Alan message each other almost every day to discuss a new fucking boob in comedy. Our stand-up comedy attracts more buffoons way more than any talented people.
Not like, just buffoons, but like sociopaths.
Yeah.
Like legitimately insane people.
Well, think about it. Who is going to want to get up on stage and talk to a whole group of people? There's either people who, A, think they have something funny to say and want to refine it and try and get better at it, or B, insane people. That's what they do anyway. They stand on the corner yell at human beings.
A couple weeks ago, it occurred to me, I actually said that on stage. It was like, comedians are just a microphone away from being a homeless person.
Right.
We're just ranting, and we have a microphone. They don't.
You know, what's a real problem? Because if you've ever played a bar show, 90% of the time, the people there don't want you there. They are upset that the jukebox was turned off. So it takes a real fucked up mindset to force yourself on people that do not want to hear you and be like, no, I hid the cue ball on the pool table, so you can't do that either. No, you're listening to me. And then just force your shit on them and just be like, they weren't very appreciative of my performance tonight.
Ryan, I think you and I once did a show out on a military base in the middle of the ocean during like the baseball World Series that they turned off. And they're like, but normally you're like, hey, we're going to turn off the World Series or whatever, and we're going to do comedy. You can go to the other bar if you want. But in this case, they're like, not only is this, there's no other bar on this island, there's no other TVs.
No.
So good luck.
No. And I remember the first time that did happen to me. I was very new and I didn't know the science of running a bar show, which there very much is, Alan, you know this, when you have to take over a bar show, you've got to tell the owner, listen, you need to do these specific things. And even then, the fucking bar owner who's never run a comedy show is still going to be like, no, I think we should keep one TV on. No, let the jukebox play. I want to see who they really like more.
There's a new episode of Two Broke Girls. It's both comedy. If we have them on simultaneously, it'll work.
That's
twice
double
as well.
The humor.
That literally happened to me last year. Game 7 of the World Series, and we were in a sports bar, and they turned off all the TVs except one, and I was like, I don't know what's worse. If you were to turn them all off or leaving the one on, I'm not sure which one's worse.
Yeah, no, when I was new, I was playing a show on Coronado Island, and that is also heavily military populated, and a lot of them, like Bobby mentioned, do not have TVs back in the barracks or wherever they're at. So this is them going to watch the only TV, and it was when the Padres were in, like, the thing you get to before you get to the
playoffs?
World Series? Playoffs.
Talking about playoffs?
Yeah, playoffs.
Believe it or not, Ryan is not the sports aficionado that some people believe him to be.
No, I know. I mean, a lot of people think that. You know, they're always coming to me. But anyway, I didn't know anything about running a show. But all of a sudden, the guys like start turning off all the TVs. And I remember, even though I didn't know this principle, just like instinctively going, no. No, no, no. What are you doing? Leave it on. We'll perform after. And they're like, nah, this is good. We paid you. Go ahead. Oh, it was brutal. Anyway, Alan, so one guy that we were talking about, you, me, and Dave, just the other day, you said he, and again, there are people with mental illnesses in comedy where you don't even know how they thought this would go in their own head.
Right.
But he went up and he didn't tell jokes as much as he threw money at people. What was the story? Remind me.
Well, wait a second. This actually sounds like a great bit.
Yes, I want to go to that show.
He wasn't even booked on the show. It was a packed show. Like, we sold out a Thursday at the Comedy Palace. And one of the owners was like, oh, I put this guy on. He's filming this for NBC. And he had a bunch of friends come out and da-da-da-da. So I literally pulled myself from the lineup so it wouldn't be a two-hour show on a Thursday.
Yeah, he said, who's filming this for NBC? The guy that was forced on you?
Okay, so the comedian that was his way of being like, hey, buddy, I'm going to film this and all my friends here. And
did it tip you off when there was no cameras with him? Like, so, life will record
just
it.
Just a real quick side note. Do you guys think he was filming it with the intention of emailing it to NBC? Is that how he's filming? Like, what is the backstory to filming this for NBC?
More than likely, he just pictured what the end game might be, hopefully.
He just typed in mbc@gmail.com and attached that file, right?
He might even have just sent an email to some general NBC address saying, hey, I'm really funny, you guys should come check me out.
Right.
And then just in his head made up the next several steps.
I think more than likely he taped his cell phone to a rock and went to like one of those downtown local affiliates and just threw it through the building window and ran away laughing maniacally.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's the next thing. Seinfeld.
Yeah, but that would be funny.
About these crazy motherfuckers. Yeah. That's why he went to the owner of the club instead of to the booker.
Yeah.
Because the booker knows better.
Right.
So he's going to go around you and talk to the owner who doesn't know a fucking thing about the show.
But he does know that if he brings people in, then they're buying food at the show.
It's so much funny how you can bullshit an owner like that, but not like a guy that's done comedy for 5 minutes. Because if I talk to the booker and say, I'm filming for NBC, like, well, who do you know at NBC? What kind of deal do you have? Like, and they'd be like, D-d-d-d-d-d. But you tell the owner, they're like, fancy. Yeah,
I've heard of that.
I watch that on a nightly basis, sir. You are more than welcome.
So this guy essentially bumped you from your own
show.
He went
over your head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and the guys like Joe Roberts, Damon Leakes, they booked most of the show, and it was a guy off of Instagram that actually does comedy as well. So yeah, packed house, urban crowd. Mm-hmm. And so the guy goes up there and literally starts throwing a few dollars at each table. He's like smugly walking around the stage, throwing a few dollars on each, like $2 or $3.
Like he's a reverse stripper?
And being like, hey, get yourself a drink. It's on me.
I would have raised my hand like, enough of your cost $2. Can I get three more so I can have some of the cheap stuff, yes. Mr. High Roller?
This is the most interesting way to do a bringer show I've ever heard. I'm paying for the tickets after they get here.
Yeah, I knew how this was going to go as soon as you said he's on Instagram and he also does comedy.
No, that was the headliner that brought all the people. Jesus. That brought the crowd. He was actually funny. I'll give him credit.
Those people are usually not funny.
Oh, terrible.
They'll build a following doing just some bullshit like a visual gag steal a joke from somewhere else.
Right.
They don't have material to carry a show.
That's what I was expecting. I'm like, this is going to be so terrible and it's sold out. No, the headliner was great. But this guy walks up, starts smugly throwing literally a few dollars on each table. And then out of nowhere, a girl walks up on stage wearing a mask over her face and a two-piece bikini and starts twerking and like shaking her ass.
What now? What kind of mask? Ski mask? Is it like a anonymous?
It was basically, like
something for the Purge, maybe?
Pretty much. It was just bizarre.
All right.
I was so thrown. I was at the bar and just looking at the stage like, what the fuck is happening right now?
I pictured the scream mask and it's hilarious.
So he has a plant in the audience.
No, here. I like to think that that wasn't part of the show.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
This is the kind of heckler that his act attracts. Right.
You throw dollar bills, I start stripping.
Performance heckling.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing is, the crowd would love. She wasn't a bad looking girl. The crowd would have loved it.
How do you know she's had a mask on?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Her body wasn't bad.
Right.
So the crowd wouldn't have minded. They're like, all right, good looking girl dancing around for a minute. Whatever. It's not too bad. But he's still smugly walking around, throwing a few dollars at each table. And now we're like, okay, he's been on stage for like 3, 4, almost 5 minutes at this point.
Just doing that.
Has not told a joke.
That is an excruciatingly long time.
Yeah.
Even when someone's silent for 30 seconds.
30 seconds is an eternity.
Because they're hoping to build like an awkward laughter. I'm like, dude, stop it.
Yeah.
He hasn't said anything?
I don't think so.
Buy yourself a drink.
I think other than, here, it's on me. Da-da-da-da-da.
Wow.
I mean, he probably threw like $15 into the crowd. And so then.
I think he runs out of money.
Yeah. So then the crowd's like, what the fuck is happening? He's been up there for more than a few minutes at this point. So then he tries to tell a joke, and it was terrible. It didn't hit.
No.
Yeah. So then he tries to tell another joke, and the crowd turns on him at this point.
Is she still up there, or has she taken her seat?
Yeah, she is still up there, and it just makes less sense as it keeps going.
It's like a David Lynch movie.
After the second joke bombs, he demands his money back. Throw those dollars back after
he got the money back, but not the way he was hoping, because at this point, the crowd starts booing, and it's a packed house, and it was a hot crowd.
Right.
You had to be so terrible for this crowd not to be into it.
Yeah.
And it was. And so then the crowd turns on him, and George, the owner, runs up to Joe,
who
Joe's hosting. George is like, get him off the fucking stage. Get him off the stage now. Joe lights him, and the guy looks over at him and basically shakes his head.
He's the pitcher in the
catcher. No curveball on him.
Shaking off the sign.
I'm throwing heat, and that's it. And basically shakes his head like, no, I got 10 minutes. So then the crowd is just getting more and more over it. And so Joe walks over to the corner of the stage and starts clapping and kind of looking at the crowd like, come on, let's all clap.
Yeah.
So
let's all make this go away together.
Yeah, exactly. So then the crowd's into it. They're clapping and cheering. Joe snatches the mic out of his hand and goes, hey, throw those dollar bills back. That bitch probably got herpes. And just starts going into him. So the crowd starts throwing the dollar bills back. So now this girl is on her hands and knees.
Jesus.
Sadly putting the dollar bills in a bucket.
You see tears coming up from behind the mask. They're dripping off the chin piece.
Comedy isn't always about laughter. Sometimes it's about tears.
And so at this point, it's just beautiful.
I promise you, that comic, after his set, he was telling everybody else, dude, they were throwing money at me. Like, that's how disconnected from reality this type of person is.
So they both walk off stage. Joe rips on him for a second, brings up the next comedian. Show went great. That was the only hiccup. Wow. Then this dude spends the
that's
next...
That's not a hiccup, man.
That's not a hiccup. That's a very heavy speed bump. Well,
that's a high
bump maneuver. At this point, I mean, more people probably remember that than anything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In retrospect, hilarious. Yeah. In the moment,
horrifying.
So maybe he's like Kaufman. Like, this is just some big long game he's got going on.
That's what some of these guys do, though. They think they're like so alty and weird. And they're like, it's not about the laughs, man. I'm fucking doing shit out there.
But then he spends the next 45 minutes at the bar moping and bitching, going, I didn't get my full time. And they liked the joke that I told. And no,
when
they
I finally
didn't.
Got to it, no.
Yeah. The one joke.
And it took, 4 or 5 minutes at least for him to try his first joke. He told two. They both bombed in the crowd booed and
oh my god,
he got applauded off stage.
You know what's even more horrifying if you think about it is, as a comic, you guys know this, it is hard to gauge where you're at in your time. You have a rough idea based on where the jokes are. Like, all right, usually by this joke, I'm usually at the 5 minute mark, but you don't know. That's why there's the light.
And you get thrown off because every once in a while you jump into some crowd work or somebody says something, you make a joke about it.
Right.
So you get off a little bit and you don't know.
So the fact that this guy was handing out money in silence, and then when he got the light, knew he was not at 10 minutes, he had meticulously gone over this in his head and knew how long he'd be silently giving out money.
No,
he had to, otherwise he'd run out.
That makes him
a psycho.
Not at all. He's more delusional. He probably thought that 5 minutes of nothing was like 30 seconds. Like, to him, that was probably just like some nothing time. He had, in his head, he had another 10 minutes of bullshit to try to get through.
Yeah, 9 minutes and 30 more seconds to go. Wow. And so did he try and confront the host that kicked him off or no?
No, because the host stayed in the room. He was lighting people, keeping time, all that. So he was in the bar just bitching to anyone that would listen. And it was just hilarious because everyone's looking at him like, dude, are you out of your mind?
Yes, that was
terrible.
You know what's even better is in almost any other job, let's say you work in HR and you pull some kind of crazy shit like that, you go for a next job because obviously you get fired. They call up your old job. Hey, what happened? Oh, he flipped out and brought a bikini chick and started throwing dollar bills around. They're like, okay, I guess we won't hire him. That guy will still get stage time someplace.
Yes.
That guy will still call up somebody else and get on somebody else's stage.
By calling an aging Greek man and saying, I'm going on NBC. And they go, ooh.
So what are you? I want to hear some other good Henderson stories because that one's pretty top notch.
Yeah.
I heard. All right. So the hole in the wall show I was running, you guys did it.
Yeah.
Towards the end when it was just dead.
Yeah.
Because, well, the problem with that place is the owner would take out like full page advertisements and all this stuff with the wrong date. So literally, I'm like, it's every Thursday at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy.
How can you not print that?
Up and it would be like every, because at first it was like the third Saturday of the month or something. But that was for the first couple months. Months later, it's like, it's every Thursday. It's pretty easy to keep track of.
Yeah.
No, apparently not, because
I feel like at this point, you're fucking with me.
Yeah, that's what I thought
purpose.
Too. And then
no, Alan's one has got it wrong. He's like, no, that's not the date. It really is.
So one of the shows, Jeff Bilodeau talked about it. The worst shows he ever did, and he brought up that hole in the wall show. That was towards the beginning. It was the best turnout, the best show up to that point, probably that we ever had there.
Yeah.
Where 20, 30 people in that little room, it's packed. standing room, we probably had 50 people.
Yeah.
And it was going great until the feature went up. And the feature went up, screamed into the microphone so loud we turned it down a few times until it was off. So his microphone is off and he's still too loud. We got a noise complaint from the neighbors.
Wow.
And so then,
and that place has bragged that they've been there 50 years and have never had a noise complaint. No.
That place has been around since Prohibition.
Ooh.
What is this, 1980s Bobcat Goldflake? Who is this guy?
He thinks everyone is racist.
Okay, fair enough.
So he goes up there and is just screaming in the mic. I gave him the light way early. It was 4 minutes in. I give him the light. He went his full 15, and the last three was hawking his T-shirt, basically.
Okay.
So then Jeff comes up to me, and he's like, don't even bother, because I was hosting. He's like, don't even bother going up, giving me an intro. I'll just go straight up after him. Jeff goes up, starts talking, and he's like,
oh, you forgot to turn the mic back on?
Can we turn the mic back on? All right, thank you. So while he's doing his set, the feature who had walked 80% of the crowd.
80?
I mean, no joke.
That's unheard of.
No joke.
I've seen him walk more.
Yeah.
He's having an off night, and
walking the crowd literally consists of them going 30 feet outside to smoke cigarettes, sure. But they weren't coming back in at this point.
And so you've lost their trust.
Plus, they could hear it from out there.
Yeah. And so then the, 10 people that are left in the room, the feature is walking around table to table trying to sell his T-shirts while the headliner is on stage going, come on, 3 for $10. Which he has to be losing money.
Yeah.
Just to give non-comedians a frame of reference, for a comic to do that, go table to table, that's as sad to see as when you're at a stop sign and someone comes up and tries to wash your window.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the level of sadness.
Oh, and just to top it off, he walks up to me straight after his set, after everyone had left the room.
Tried to sell you a shirt?
I talked him down for the 4 for $10.
Yeah, 4 for $10. Yeah, he got a ton of rags now at the house. So he goes, that was so much fun. Can I headline next time? And I'm looking around going, everyone left the room while you were performing.
Yeah.
Is that not...
It doesn't register
with
something
at all. Massive disconnect.
Again, it's the crazy person. Yeah. It's the crazy person on the corner.
Yeah. Right. Well, I was speaking of which, on my way here, I stopped at a drive-thru to get some breakfast, and a homeless man all of a sudden came up to my window and gave me like the roll it down symbol. And I don't know why. No, I do know why I did it. Wow. Because in the back of my mind, I thought, he's about to tell me I have a flat tire.
Right. There's a coffee cup on my roof.
He's going to give me some wisdom, some advice. I don't know why I ever stop to talk to homeless people, but I do it all the time. Walking in downtown, walking in Ocean Beach, every time they go, excuse me, sir, I should just keep walking and not make eye contact, but I go, yes.
No, see, I disagree. I actually think you have it right. I do that as well. It's the same reason I invite Jehovah's Witnesses in for like a glass of water when they come knock on my door. You'll get into
you poison it. You'll wake up in a bathtub. I'm the king of pranks and I have your kidney too.
I've talked to so many Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses for hours on end because it's interesting. You'll never have that interesting a conversation in real life, face to face.
You need something to do.
Disagree. See, I got my system. Like, if any homeless person who I suspect is homeless says anything at all to me, I just keep going. Don't break my stride. I just say, God bless you, brother.
Yeah.
And I just keep going, and that's it.
Yeah, and I don't know what I think they're going to tell me, like a hot stock tip, or maybe he's going to ask me who I like in the big Aldo Holloway fight.
My favorite one, which I got from somebody else, so I can't say this is my own, but I have adapted this, and I love it, is when a homeless guy stops you.
You mace the fuck out of him.
Yeah. He's like, hey, brother, can I talk to you for a second? And then right when he calls you over, you go, hey, do you have a quarter I can have?
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that trick. Great. My friend in college used to do that
it's
one.
It's a great one.
I think what it is deep down, I don't want to be like the people I left behind in Orange County 13 years ago.
Right.
I don't want to be like, ew, poor people are gross.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be like, this person's a human, and he's obviously not having a great time in life, and can I at least pay him the dignity of stopping and acknowledging him when he speaks to me? Don't I at least owe him that much? And then it's like, give me a dollar. I'm like, no, fuck you. I'm like, how did I think that was going to go? So anyway, today, I gave me the roll it down symbol. I did it. And he launches right into the story. I prefer the just give me a dollar.
I ran out of gas. I'm on my way to get baby formula. I got a flat tire.
Well, he went with, sir, my wife just died 2 days ago, and they evicted me from our apartment, and my benefits have not kicked in yet. And first of all, I'm like, the level of grime on you suggests far longer than 2 days, sir. So, good day. Second of all, your wife died and your landlord just kicked you in the door and went, she's dead. Get the fuck out of here. It takes some time, right, bro. So anyway, I'm like, sorry, man. And I'm like, I don't have any cash. He's like, I don't want cash, brother. I just want something to eat. Now he's putting his fingers on my window. God. So I just start driving, and he's hobbling along with the car into the drive. He's like, just going to drive away, huh? And so I start rolling up the window, and he narrowly gets his little stubby fingers out. And so that now I'm trying to order, but I'm distracted because he's filling the back of my window. That's all I see in my window is him yelling profanities at me, and I keep getting distracted. I'm like, sir, you are interrupting this Egg McMuffin purchase. So
I was really hoping that he was going to say, I don't want money. I just want a hug.
I would rather give him money.
So wait, were you in line at McDonald's at this point, or
no? I was in the drive-through line.
Oh
yes.
My God.
At one point, I just wanted to turn to the drive-through speaker box. Like, are you seeing all this? Like, I know you have cameras because I tried to come here on foot once, and you knew.
And the McDonald's guy's like, you know how much we get paid? You think I'm gonna go out and fight a homeless guy
for
you?
McDonald's guy's like, do you want to supersize your homeless person?
We got a bigger one here behind the place. Yeah. So going back to Booker's story, sorry, I just you said crazed person and it brought back a flashback to this morning. It is. I don't know how you can stand being a booker of all these shows, because I sometimes book one show and even just that is maddening. Just the when an insane person finds out you book a show, the emails you will get.
Oh my God.
Just the emails you must get.
You would think that? I literally have no one hit me up.
Really?
Like almost zero people.
That's about to change, buddy.
Well, we have like this? 6 or 7 listeners. So we're gonna get
and they're all insane comics.
Well, and it's funny because people think I book all these spots. Like the Salty Frog show is once a month. I host it. I book a feature headliner. It's a 60-minute show, and most comedians aren't feature headliners.
Right.
So that makes it easy to book.
But a lot of comics think they're feature and headliners. Yeah. Those are the ones that hit you up. Or I would imagine hit you up and say, hey, I want a feature.
What I can't stand is the never-ending pestering guy. You know, like the, Dave, I showed you this guy. This guy hit me up. I do one show, and oh my God, someone put me on this website once called like Megan's Law. No. It was Comedy Soapbox, something like that, where they list your name and contact
Steve
info.
Steve Hofstetter's website.
Was that his?
Oh, yeah, he created it.
Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
Great. Anyway, so I don't know how this person got my info, but it was probably on one of those things. But all of a sudden, it was just like a constant every day. Hey, can I get on the show? Can I get on the show? Can I get on the show? So I'm like, just send me a clip. It was God awful. Just him saying things. He made the hilarious observation that Kim Kardashian is stupid and a hoe.
And she's got a big butt.
He did observe that. Yeah.
Well, that's the guy we were talking about that also hit up Kendrick.
Oh, right.
Who had your shows with at the Palace.
Yeah.
And begged him to get on a show. He bombed so hard. And it was a good crowd. It was one of the backroom shows. It was almost sold out. So there's like 40, 50 people back there. Great crowd. He bombed so hard. And then, hey, can I get on another show?
Yeah.
And then he harassed Kendrick so much. Kendrick put him on another show and then is like, what's the pay? What's the pay? What's the pay?
Wow.
He's like, A, you're doing a guest spot. And,
yeah, that's what he did to me.
And it's just, if some people come to see you, I'll give you a percentage of ticket sales. Like, it's not a bringer, but if you do sell tickets,
it's a door deal.
Guess
that's
what? You get paid.
Yeah. And a door deal is different than a bringer.
Yeah, exactly. And so the guy, basically the day of, again, hey, what's the pay? What's the pay? And Karen's like, again.
I feel like we've had this conversation. Yeah.
And so he cancels the day of. He's like, hey, unless you're going to give me gas money, because I'm coming from LA, man.
Wow.
After he harassed the fuck out of him. And it's funny because, I don't book that. Like, I do the Pacific Islander Beer Company show once a month. That show has a built-in crowd. So literally, I book a headliner, and the people that I book as features are people that I've booked to headline before.
Yeah.
Like, I had you feature on the last one.
Right.
Only time I booked you before was to headline. It's like, that's the only people I book. And then Winston's every Friday. I don't know. People just don't want to do the show, apparently, because no one fucking asks.
Well, that same guy did the same thing to me. He harassed me finally. I said, I'll give you a 5-minute guest spot. If you do well, I'll rebook you for a paying feature spot and so forth. And then it was like, what's the pay for this? I'm like, I said 5 minute guest spot. There's no fucking, right. What do you want, a penny? So, you know, and by the way, you've blown me up for a month or maybe more. And then it was like, I'm going to decline that offer. I'm like, after the harassment.
Dude, but this show, Shores was saying he books a show. He was gone last month and I took it over for him. Oh my God, I could not imagine booking a monthly show because this thing, holy fuck, it was rough. We've all done it before, the venue. Right. And it's a tough venue because it's a bar gig. And
by the way, some comics have been like, hey man, I've seen you've been running that show and you've never booked me. I thought we were friends and I book you. I'm like, I like you.
Yeah,
I don't want you to be mad at me.
I'm doing you a favor.
I mean, we had the advantage of we bring the Gorgenerate crew with us on a lot of shows. And so when we did that show, we have a built-in audience too and they show up. And so we had that advantage. Without that, that would have been a murderous show to do.
Oh, yeah, because I didn't have them. Everybody is out of town, so I just booked the show, and the bar owner wants 2 hours, which is too long.
Way too long.
For a comedy show, especially a comedy show at a bar.
That's another one of those little stipulations that a guy that doesn't know anything about comedy forces on you. No, more comedy the better. 3 hours, 4 hours, so 6 hours.
I'm doing my best trying to fill time in between so the poor comics don't have to do as much time.
Yeah.
And it's just going awful. Like, the people at the bar are ignoring me. I'm trying to make something happen. So I walk over this group of young kids who are kind of half in, half out of paying attention, and I tap one on the shoulder while I'm doing time. Like, hey, guys, you ever heard of the Holocaust? And this chick at the bar stands up. She's like, you shut the fuck up right now. And I'm like, whoa, all right, I'm sorry. She walks over
to me.
Apparently
she had heard of it.
Yeah.
She gets in my face and she's like, you shut the fuck up. So I'm trying to defuse him. I'm like, what do you want to joke about? I want you to shut the fuck up and get the fuck out of here. And I'm like, I actually can't. Yeah. I've got another hour of comedy.
I'm under contract,
I'm obliged to be. She laid in. She threatened to slap me.
Wow.
In front of it was like, I really wish someone had taken at least a picture, if not video, of that moment because, oh, it was amazing. That was the worst bar moment I've ever had.
Didn't someone the month before get stabbed or was bleeding from their head during the show?
At some point, and I'm not sure what happened, but I believe it was Bijan who was headlining, and he actually told a joke about someone getting stabbed in the head, and all of a sudden, this woman, there was a couple sitting right next to the stage, and all of a sudden, this woman gets up and goes to the bathroom, and all of a sudden, everyone just looks over, and the dude is bleeding profusely out of his head. Mm-hmm. Out of his head! And so everyone, like, the show kind of comes to a grinding halt when someone has a massive head injury.
Right.
And he's just bleeding, so everyone, I don't know who started it. In retrospect, I think it was my fiance, Aaron. was like, that woman stabbed him and ran away. And I think it turned out that like he had just had surgery and his stitches had come undone. But now,
Bijan made him laugh so hard that his head popped.
Yeah. Talking about busting a stitch, huh? leaving him in stitches, huh? Nothing? Fuck you guys. By the time this poor woman had come back from the bathroom, this rumor had circulated about her that she had stabbed her date in the head without warning and then fled on foot. So then she comes back, she's like, oh my God, what happened? People are like, you know what fucking happened, lady. Meanwhile, Bijan's standing there with a microphone, bewildered. And that was the last show, so I think I'm not going to do that one anymore. Or, Alan, we want a new room?
It's funny, I did that
great
place. You had Castleberry run his show, and I did the spot before. Didn't it burn down
at one
point?
It did burn down.
Yeah.
I think it might have been the owner.
That place is cursed, for sure.
Straying away from comedy stories for one sec, Dave was helping with a little DIY project. Here's the thing with me and DIY projects. Bobby, you're fantastic. You built a fucking room on your house by hand by yourself. I have great vision when it comes to projects. So I can be like, oh, a deck right there, above ground hot tub, then a gazebo over that. And people are like, that's a really great idea. And then when it comes to, it's the why part of the DIY. When I trust myself, because I've never worked construction. I work demolition, which I've said before is the dumbest idea possible because working demolition is the same pay as construction and it sucks just as bad, but you learn nothing. So all these guys that worked construction, like, you know, in their early 20s, now when their wife is like, oh, can you fix that? No problem. Now I'm like, and Aaron's like, hey, the door is kind of off its hinge. I'm like, I can hit it with a crowbar till it's fucking gone. Want me to do that? I can fucking get rid of it for you.
Where's the sledgehammer?
Yeah, I can make that into little tiny pieces and put it in the garbage can and wheel it out to the curb. So anyway, I did do one good when I built that planter box you've seen.
Yeah,
so
good
I'm
job.
Like, I want to do that on a smaller scale. But here's what everything goes wrong: the materials. I never know what the right materials are, and it's not till like I take it all home, like, all right, I'm gonna glue this board there and nail it in there and screw it in. And all of a sudden, like the first nail I try, like the drill strips it, it like splits the wood. And then
just
I,
the fact that he's talking about drilling a nail kind of makes me think.
Why won't it catch?
So like, no, I don't realize what I've done wrong until I bring it back to the hardware store, and then that they're like, you used that kind of screw with that kind of...
He's putting in drywall screws.
Oh, my God. Tom. No, don't bother Tom. Come on, Tom. You gotta see
this. Tom's going to love this.
I feel like automotive parts store guys and hardware store guys
yep.
have no compunction about making fun of you right to your face
no.
and forgetting that you're a paying customer.
No.
It's always like, oh, my God, you know what this fucking guy did?
That's because if you go to Target, they can't make fun of you because if you're like, okay, I just need this fucking side end table or something like this, if the guy in that thing makes fun of you, then what are you're just going to buy the table anyway and you're going to go complain to your manager.
Fag!
Yeah. If you have a problem at the hardware store, that guy can make fun of you because you still need his help to find the right answer.
Yeah, right. You're fucked.
I have been verbally abused by the Home Depot guy before, and like I've been like at the end, I've been like, can I speak to your manager? I've been like, are you done? Okay, will you help me then, please? Please show me where the right one is. All right, okay, wood screws. Thank you. Yeah, they have no problem fucking making fun of me. But yeah, Dave and I were in our garage. We were trying to build Aaron a little kitchen countertop living spice box, you
okay.
know?
Yeah,
like
sure.
a mini planter box for your kitchen.
Right.
And it involves 4 pieces of wood and glue. That's it, 5 pieces. And somehow, Dave and I ended up like with our fingers stuck to the boards. We didn't know which way to put it. We were in the...
Did you get a sitcom scenario where your hands got glued together and you had to pretend like you were continually shaking hands?
Yeah, every time Aaron walked in...
Oh, we're just practicing!
Yeah, this turned into like a 2-hour project in there. I'm like, I didn't even need these wood clamps. Like, that was the most expensive part. There's like $50 worth of equipment here. So, yeah, it turned into a Stooges sketch pretty quick.
Yeah.
Next time I'll let you borrow my Finnish nailer. Yeah, that is one thing.
Ooh, I have a nailer from Finland. Ooh, you're...
That is one thing I will always... When I was younger, I had shitty jobs because I didn't have any money. And I always thought when I was a kid, like, oh, man, this sucks. This is horrible. But in later in life, that really does help out. I used to stand outside Home Depots and get picked up to go do work. You know, like the typical
work.
Hand yeah. jobs mainly.
Mainly hand jobs, yeah. But like and when I was there, I was like, fuck, this sucks. Like, this is horrible. All my friends have these, like, their parents are rich, so they have a sweet job in their mom's accounting firm doing bullshit and getting paid $20 an hour. But in the end, it does come back around to help out. Same thing about being poor when I was young and had shitty cars. My dad never taught me how to work on cars. My car just never worked, so I had to figure shit out.
I can see all the other day laborers hating Bobby because every time a car pulls up, he yells, I speak English!
Yeah.
And they start gesturing him over frantically.
Here's the more insulting part. The car would pull up and be like, who does tile work? A bunch of other guys raise their hand. Who does this work? A bunch of other guys raise their hand. All right, well, we'll give you $15 an hour, you $15 an hour, and you, future college graduate, you get $6 an hour.
Yeah. I was waiting for that to take a racist turn where everyone knew this skill work. Like, we're still going with the white guy.
Yeah,
did
right?
not raise his hand for anything.
That's where I thought it was going to.
So, yeah. Oh, and by the way, you get $20 whilst they get $15.
I am going to go on record and say that although it was a bit of a debacle, I was a little bit better at putting the pieces together than Shores was.
He was. That's
but it was still pretty funny.
Hey, I made you supper, motherfucker, and you couldn't do that to save your life.
I brought you a bottle of bourbon that you assumed I just brought for myself and I was gonna drink.
Yeah.
But that's like saying you dance better than I do. Like, what does that really mean? Come on.
For listeners we didn't establish it, Alan's in a wheelchair. So anyway, another thing, today I went to go get my passport and I forgot how much I love going to places where they're not dependent on your business.
Oh, yeah.
Every time someone says communism would be a good idea, I just think about every restaurant being run like the DMV where they don't care and they have no problem. Like, imagine a government-run restaront. Imagine for a second. Like, imagine going to, I don't know, Outback Steakhouse and then heavyset woman of color, she's over there. And, okay, next, right now, please, next. You go up. Yeah, can I? Sir, do not yell at me. No, I just went, sir, what do you want? I was just, what do you want? I'd like a table for two. Sir, why are you telling me how many people are at your table? I don't understand the question. Sir, what do you want to eat? I just see that being the the way society would run.
Yeah, you got to do the mail-in passport, bro. You can't go into the office. You got to do the mail-in submission. You can't even step foot in those places. That's for when you fuck up and you don't plan ahead long enough. And,
right.
And you're like, oh, shit, I'm trying to get out of the country in 8 weeks.
Oh, shit, I just killed my wife. I really need to leave soon. I'm definitely paying that Expedia.
That planner box really went wrong.
Yeah.
I got to get out of
and
here.
And I just got evicted.
My wife died.
Yeah. I end up waving the planter box at some car at the drive-thru at McDonald's. So anyways, I go in, and here's the thing about these places. Their biggest fantasy is that you will just evaporate. So they, what any place is doing when they ask you a line of questioning is hoping to God that you have not met one of the requirements and
right.
cannot be seen right now,
because
that will shorten their line. And I'm pretty sure I have everything. I double checked. And so she's like, all right, you want a passport? Okay. Do you have your birth certificate? Yep. Do you have all the forms filled out in advance? Yep. Do you have the fee? Yep. Do you have check form? Two checks. It takes two checks. Yep. Two checks.
You have the pictures. You have multiple pictures.
And like, you can see you're like running out of steam. It's really disappointing her that I have all these things. She's like, it's almost like a game now. Like, shit. Okay. Yeah. Okay. She goes, okay. ID? ID. She goes, two forms. And I went, no! And I had to drive all the way back to El Cajon. And I came back. I was like the guy like playing a carnival game.
Right.
Like, all right, I'm back for more, motherfucker. I'm winning this time. Yeah. She, the second time through, she's like, you went all the way home to get that.
Nice.
I admire that. Okay, we'll let you have a passport. Yeah, it's like disability. They're gonna reject you the first time just to weed out some people.
Right, right.
The people that won't try again.
That's hilarious.
Bobby, we had a listener question for you.
Oh, interesting.
Forgive me, I don't have it pulled up in front of me. So if you ask this question, I'm sorry, I'm not saying your name. But someone asked, Bobby has this thing about the left turn on red.
Yes. I got it from Adam Carolla. It's not my original thing.
Sure, sure.
You make a left turn on it. I'll just update the listeners. If you are at a red arrow with a green light, we're not talking about red lights.
A crazed homeless man is approaching.
If you are at a red left turn arrow with green lights and nobody is coming the other way, it's completely open, you can see 100 yards down the strip, there's no way you're getting in anyone's way, you make that left turn. Because 15, 20 years ago, there was no red arrows for left turns. You just had green and you would go on yield. It's the exact same thing. It's just that we decided to put this red arrow up so that people who didn't know how to yield wouldn't crash.
Now,
I disagree, because I maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like I've seen that situation where the red arrow flashes red, and that's where stop, and then when it's clear, you can go.
Yes, that's if it's flashing red. But I'm talking about it's just a red
arrow. Solid red.
Yeah, solid red. You can't go.
That's a hard crime.
No, I'm not saying it's legal for you to go. I'm saying that there's no reason it shouldn't be. It's the same reason that you can't turn red on a right-hand
turn.
Oh,
I'm talking about shouldn't, dude. I got a fucking list.
Well, you can't turn red on a right-hand turn in like most states, you know? Well, but you still should be able to do it, and you should still do it because it makes traffic go better.
Well, Bobby, the thing about your mentality is when I asked you, like, what if you're caught? And you're like, that's the price of doing this.
And I've been caught.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what was scary about that mentality is, you know how I have those state-of-the-art smart TVs in my house that I got both for $500? And people ask me, how'd you get that price? And I say, I know a guy who knows a guy who doesn't care about jail. So that's how I got them. I've talked to that guy, and the way he gets those TVs, it's a method of stealing I won't go into. I don't want to blow up a spot. But I'm like, well, dude, isn't there a risk of being caught? Like, that's grand larceny, the amount of TVs you're wheeling out of that store directly. He goes, well, you have to understand, in my line of work, that's a few months in jail is just part of the cost of doing business. And I'm like, that is the exact fucking mentality Bobby has.
No, no, no. No, it is not. Let me show the distinction. He is harming somebody. Whether it's a corporation or not, he is stealing from a person. That is wrong. That is morally wrong.
Okay.
It is not morally wrong to do something that hurts nobody and, in fact, helps a lot of people. You are lessening traffic, lessening congestion, and taking the ability of you to get into an accident in that intersection out of the way. You should always stand up for what's right, regardless of the law.
Well, the thing is, the reason I didn't want to blow up the guy's spot, not because I think cops are listening, I just know the next time he tries to do it, Bobby's going to clear some Walmart cards and go, not on my watch!
Yeah, absolutely.
While wearing a cape.
Yeah. No, fuck that. If you're stealing, that's a whole different thing. You're doing something morally wrong.
Yeah. So anyway, the listener, getting back to the listener question, what is your policy on no U-turn signs?
So there's reasons for you to have no U-turn signs. One is, if you imagine you're going straight and you'd make a U-turn and make a 180-degree turn, if you think of the intersection coming in on your left, if they have a green arrow, you have to account for them when you're making your turn. So
fucking lost me.
Right. Well, so basically,
I'm with you. Keep going.
A lot of times those no U-turn signs are there to keep you from getting into an accident if they have a green right-hand turn arrow. So if you're accounting for that, and you have accounted for the fact that your car can make the U-turn without you having to stop
that's
and like back up and
think.
Make
exactly.
a Y.
If you can't make it in one turn, that's why.
Exactly. If you can account for those two things, fuck that sign.
Okay.
Because you're not hurting anyone.
I don't know about you, but I feel like every time that I get off on the wrong freeway exit, I've always found the one road in that town with 80 U-turn signs in a row. I feel like they know a lot of people make that mistake,
right.
And they're just fucking with you. The city planner is fucking with you. Either that, or I have this theory that there's something at the end of this road they really want me to see. Like, no one's going to the new water park. I don't think they know it's here. I have an idea. Make it impossible for them to turn back.
Yes, fuck those signs, but you do have to account
for
that.
So, Bobby, are you morally opposed to speed limits then?
Depends. If you're talking about a speed limit in a residential area, no, you should have speed limits in residential areas. If you're talking about in the middle of the 5 in the Central Valley on the way up, no, fuck that speed limit.
Yeah. Now, another thing that's happening in the news right now, by the way, is Kathy Griffin. I'm not really a fan of in the first place.
I have never been a fan of her. I just don't think she's funny.
No. And not my cup of tea, but, yeah. You know, she does very well.
I think it was Sam Tripoli who we had on the show. He was commenting online the other day about how Kathy Griffin claims to be a stand-up comic. He's never seen her. He's like, I've been in L.A. grinding for the last 20 years. I have literally never seen her at a single mic ever. She's never anywhere. She just has this built-in fan base of, like,
gay
I guess
people
gay dudes and these
sassy older bros.
Yeah, and they show up to specialty shows she does, but she's never done any of this stuff. And that's fine if that's your deal,
yeah,
that's but
totally
then fine. And that's totally cool, because I'm certainly falling that boat sometimes too. But her trying to claim, like, oh, this is just me trying stuff out or doing this. No, it's not.
Yeah.
But the flip side is, it's weird when people get super offended about something like that. Like, it's Kathy Griffin. Are you thinking that she's actually going to attack President Trump? Are you worried that the 85-pound, 55-year-old broad, like, is going to show up with a machete and attack Trump from behind, circumventing all the Secret Service in some kind of weird John Rambo situation?
Now, there's two things. By the way, if you've been in a cave for the last few days, Kathy Griffin took a picture of her holding what appeared to be Donald Trump's severed head. It was a mask.
I honestly couldn't tell it was supposed to be his head when I first saw it.
Right.
It was
just
so messy.
Just some little promo shot she did. I didn't feel one way or another about it at first, but it caused all this backlash with, of course, Trump supporters going, this is in poor taste. I am offended. How could she? That man has children. And then, you know, of course, the left side going, well, what about what these people did? And putting up, like, all those horrible...
Ted Nugent said he was going to kill Obama and stuff.
Well, yeah, and like, all those drawings of Obama being lynched, you know, like, what about what they did? You know, so that just leads to a never-ending fiasco of, you know, people shouting over each other, which, the way I feel about it is, I'm like, it was in poor taste.
Yep.
And as far as, like, hey, what about all that stuff they did? My feeling is, in any situation, never worry about what the other person, how the other person was despicable and trying to match their level of despicableness. Your goal in life should be, all right, I'm not going to lower myself to that. So it doesn't matter how shitty they were. I'm not them.
Well, it's also a bad analogy, because you have to ask yourself this. Were you upset when Ted Nugent said he was going to kill Obama or whatever it was? And if your answer is, no, I was totally cool with it, then fine. Then
to
you
be
have
fair,
an...
he was wearing a diaper and also shooting an arrow through a fucking burning tire.
If you saw the lynching cartoons and all that kind of stuff and you were like, I'm cool with this, this is just satire, then you have place to speak, then you are 100% right, and then your argument is valid. However, if you, like me, were like, eh, that lynching stuff is in bad taste, you shouldn't do that, then you're not allowed to flip around and say, well, you shouldn't do that, but it's okay for my side to do it.
Right.
So you have to have the same standards for both things. Like, you have to be able to say, like, listen, it was wrong when they did that. And while it's not a gigantic deal, just like it wasn't a gigantic deal when they did it, it's wrong when Kathy Griffin does it too.
Right. You're not going to end any argument by just hearkening to another incident. You know, like if Aaron says you left the you didn't load the dishwasher. Well, you didn't load the dishwasher either 3 weeks ago. Okay, well, we're not on that one right now. We're on this one. Let's solve this one. Let's have the I'll do better next time, maybe.
And then the backlash to the backlash, where now I've seen a lot of comics. And I actually kind of agree with this point. A lot of comics who are saying she should not have apologized.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fucking stand by your move, dude.
Yeah, 100%.
Stand by it.
Stand up.
Yeah. So, Alan, you think she should have stood by it?
Stand by it. It was a swing and a miss.
Yeah.
That's all it was.
And see, the thing, it would have been different if it was actually funny or if she was making a point. There was nothing to it. It was just like, hey,
I'm
holding
literally a picture.
There was no gag. There was no...
No.
Right.
No satire. Yeah. Nothing clever about it.
And there was a behind-the-scenes video when she did the photo shoot. It's like a three-minute-long video I saw. Where they're joking around like, oh, yeah, we're going to get hit up by Secret Service. Like, oh, yeah, this is going to have backlash.
Of course
she
are.
She knew going in and then tries to claim. I don't even know what did she claim because she did that whole press conference.
She said he's bullying her. That was a great one. He's trying to ruin my life.
You know what I thought was great? She said, and I saw this the subtitle there on the Fox News was on in the bar I was in last night with Aaron. So I saw the subtitles and she said, No one in history has ever been treated like this. Something to that effect.
Which is funny because I think he said the same thing.
Trump says this all the time.
Yeah.
And she makes fun of him for it. And the thing is, you can't like attack anything she said without being accused of being a Trump supporter. I put a series of jokes about her yesterday, like Marie Antoinette, like saying, not cool.
Yeah.
Don't joke about decapitation. And people are like, fucking Trump supporter. I'm like, what?
Well, and then people go back to the old... just the most tired excuse for telling somebody to shut up, which is something Ryan brought up this week on his Facebook wall, which I really agree with and I think needs to be said more, which is...
That's funny you didn't hit the like button anytime this week, stingy fuck.
Is when...
Hit that like button, it's free!
Oh, I'm sorry, I was doing something, like creating a human life. But
snooze fest!
No, you did that 9 months ago.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But the old argument, which is, I'm offended. And it's such a dumb argument. Whenever anybody says, I'm offended, unless right beforehand somebody asked the question, hey, is anybody offended by this? Then you're just being a narcissist. Because you being offended is meaningless. Offended is an emotion. It's like a bunch of people were talking about how to make a pizza, and then you chimed in, I don't like pizza. It's like, all right, bro, nobody cares. Your opinion is meaningless.
Yeah.
Who cares what you think?
Well,
the only thing that matters is whether or not something is wrong or right. And so if you're offended because, let's say, somebody makes a really racist comment, it doesn't matter that you're offended by that comment. It matters that the comment is wrong or morally despicable. So bring up what's wrong or morally despicable.
I really think, and this is what I believe I said about that, is I think our generation has conflated the phrase, I disagree with you, and turned it into, I'm offended.
Right.
So, I mean, I think, for instance, if I said, there's not as many funny women comics as male comics. Whereas I think years ago, maybe a female comic would be like, well, I disagree with you. How about her? How about her? How about her? But now it's just, I find that very offensive. Well, but do you just disagree with me?
Also, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Okay, so for instance, I might be offended by somebody's religious views that gay people shouldn't be married. Guess what? They're offended if they see two gay guys walking down the street. My offense is no different than theirs. It is exactly the same. We have the same boundaries because we both feel offended. And you know why? Because it's meaningless.
Right.
Your offense is absolutely meaningless to everybody but yourself. And if you bring it up, you're a fucking narcissist.
Yeah, yeah.
So bottom line, next time a homeless person asks you for change, say, I am offended by your request.
And he'll immediately issue an apology. Yeah, and backtrack on his change request. I think tagging on to your narcissist point, I think it saying I'm offended in their mind legitimizes them. It makes them a point of topic instead of just saying, well, you know.
Well, it seems to me to be somebody saying, hey, these internal feelings and opinions I have are something everybody else needs to recognize. And that's why, to me, it's hugely narcissistic, as opposed to simply saying, hey, let me explain to you why it's not wrong for two gay guys to walk down the street with their hands held, because it has to do with civil rights and the ability for one person to have the same rights as other people. And here's why that is, as opposed to, I just like it.
Well, the weirdest one to me is when you post something like that, and the person that's offended is someone you've never met, you're not friends with.
Yeah.
Right.
And then you look and you're like, do we even have mutual friends?
Yeah. How did you find me?
Exactly.
Dude?
How did
Seeking
you see this post?
Yeah.
And I have that happen because I made my Facebook account after I started comedy just for networking. So
sure,
I don't even have, like, my wife is a friend on Facebook. I don't have any of my friends, like a couple
She gets a bit preachy.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And so it's like my Facebook account is just for comedy. And I guess people don't know that.
Yeah.
But I'll post something and get like the weirdest reaction. So I kind of look, I'm like, who is this person? Yeah. Okay, you live in Wisconsin. We don't even have mutual friends. How did you even find this post?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let alone you're taking time out of your day to say you're offended. Like, literally no one cares. It's so bizarre to
me. Don't you have some jean shorts to put away?
Dude, I feel like, getting back to the whole Kathy Griffin thing, like, I hate Trump, but I feel like he took it like a step further on the offended thing when he was like, oh, my 11-year-old son saw this and he was so, like, fuck.
I'm like, I think you should have him tested.
Do not bring a child in as a proxy. Like, it doesn't make your offense any more valid. Because,
also, why are you letting your 11-year-old kid see that? Yeah, should, like, you be monitoring what's going on with him?
What are the odds that he just randomly found that? And then, like I said, you can't even recognize that's Trump. Like, there's no way that he's like, oh my God, my dad's dead. He was probably happy, first of all.
And how would Trump
inheritance.
Know?
Yeah.
Don't they live in different states?
Yeah.
Exactly.
How would Trump even know?
I don't think he knows where he is right now. Like, my 11... Shit, where'd he... Oh, fuck. Get on Air Force One. I think we left him behind.
If anything, your kid should be offended that his name is Barron. That's an asshole name.
We should reboot Home Alone where Barron's left at the White House by himself.
He's going to stop Kathy Griffin from getting in.
Yeah.
You put Jamie Foxx in there, it's White House down.
All right. Well, Alan, thank you so much for coming on, man. We hope you come back.
Oh, absolutely.
Please be saving these promoter stories because we want more next time you're on.
Oh, if I really sit down and think about it, I've probably got fucking 100 of
them. We've got Big Frog as our prison correspondent. You can be our promoter correspondent.
Our shitty bar show run promoter correspondent.
Nice. All right. I'm Ryan for Dave, Bobby, and Alan saying see you next week. Cruising with the Twos. You know what fucking happened, lady. Yeah, time's passing by. Oh, yeah, time's passing by. Oh, motherfucking time is passing by.
I'm the next Seinfeld.